First one in chapter 1, where he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In chapter 13, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." And then remember in chapter 19, he says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." And then probably the most well-known verse last week, his fourth great declaration of faith. "He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Amen. Tonight, we begin in verse 10 again. "He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence when I consider I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." More than my necessary food is our title. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would use your word tonight to teach and grow us. We thank you for the privilege to open it together on a Sunday evening around our Savior. And we pray you'd use it in each of our hearts to teach and grow us, and that you'd be glorified in it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What's fascinating about this passage for me is that the Bible hadn't been written yet when Job made these statements. And so Job obviously had opportunity to hear some of God's commandments for man, to hear some of God's words, either being passed down from Adam and others who had spoken directly to God, or God had spoken directly to Job. We don't know for sure. But Job was prior to Moses, as far as this chronology goes, and yet he's talking here about God's commandments and God's ways. He says there in verse 12, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips." You know, when God's word is important to us, we're willing to obey it. Amen? It's one thing to say, "I love the word of God." It's another thing to say, "I obey the word of God," when actually those two things are the same thing. Because if you love the word of God and you don't obey the word of God, then you actually don't love the word of God. And that's actually what the Family Camp series of messages will be on. It's going to be a life-changing series called Love or Hate. And I know that sounds a bit unique, because it will be. But Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth. In other words, I have made a decision that the words of his mouth are something to be esteemed, something to be magnified, something to be lifted up. And I've esteemed them to be something great. And this would be evident for us as God's children who do have a copy of the Word of God in how we treat the Word of God. Do we esteem his words as something great and wonderful? It's one thing to say, "Yes, I have a copy and I love this piece of leather with the pages inside." But that's not what we're talking about, is it? We're talking about the words. We're talking about what our Creator wrote for us. Do we esteem it? Do we lift it up? God did. In Psalm 138:2, he says, he's magnified his word above all his name. Think about that. And we know how important his name is. So the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But have we esteemed it? Because it can do so much for us, and it is so powerful and important in our lives. Go to Psalm 119, if you would. We'll look at a couple of scriptures together that most of us know already, but let's be reminded tonight about how powerful and how important the Word of God is in our Christian walk, and that we're actually learning this truth from none other than Job in the midst of some of the worst suffering that anybody's ever faced. He's lost his family, he's lost his living, he's lost his health, and now he's surrounded by supposed friends that are accusing him of being the reason for the suffering and saying his children deserve to die. Imagine that. And in the midst of all that, he says, "I've esteemed the words of his mouth." So Psalm 119, sorry, I didn't tell you, what verse did I? Well, you could pretty much just pick one. There's 176 of them, and they're all good. But most of us know verse 11. Let's turn there. Say it with me. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If we esteem the word of God, then we are going to be willing to hide it in our hearts. It's important enough to us to memorize it. Why would we do that? Well, because the Bible says we're to resist the devil and he will flee from us. And Jesus taught us how to do that in Matthew 4 when he quoted Scripture. And the more Scriptures that we hide in our heart, the bigger our arsenal is for the Holy Spirit to use when the devil does tempt us. So if we truly esteem the Word of God, then we're willing to hide it in our hearts. All right, next, Psalm 119:97. While you're in Psalm 119. Why Psalm 119? Well, the whole chapter, the longest chapter in the Bible, is about God's Word. David said, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." So not only does God want us to hide his Word in our hearts, memorize it, but he also wants us to meditate in it. Now, this isn't talking about the Eastern religion transcendental meditation, sitting with our legs crossed and our fingers on our knees. That's not what it's talking about, is it? It's talking about being in the Word every morning and finding something for that day that we can chew on all day, that we can meditate on, something from God to us that spoke to us personally. David said, "It's my meditation all the day." So if we truly esteem the Word of God, then we will hide it in our hearts, we will meditate in it, and then Psalm 119:105. What does that one say? "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." There's a lot of different paths we can take as Christians, aren't there? But there's only one that's the right one. That's the one that God wants us to take. And if we're willing to get into the Word and spend time, God will show us that path, because it is what will light our way and show us the way we're to go. So God wants us to hide it in our hearts. He wants us to meditate in it. He wants us to be led by it. But also, if you go to 2 Timothy now, most of you know chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15. So if you know it, quote it with me. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That first word is an important word, isn't it? Study. That sounds like work. Did you have to study to pass your exams in high school? Well, most of us did. Some people didn't bother. And if you went on university, did you have to study to pass your exams? Yeah. It's work. Studying is work. And studying God's Word is work. You know why? You're going to struggle with it because the devil doesn't want you to do it. So he's going to give you every excuse in the book to not study the Word of God and not take the time and energy to do it. But God commands us to do it. And if we truly esteem the Word of God, we'll not only follow its path, we'll not only memorize it and meditate in it, but we will study it. And then while you're in 2 Timothy, go to chapter 3, just one more chapter over, verse 17. God says that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. I should have done verse 16 first, which says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished. God wants to use his word to furnish us unto all good works. So if we have esteemed the words of his mouth, which Job says, "In the midst of my suffering," I want to make a statement here to you ratbag friends that are attacking me. I have esteemed the words of his mouth. I've lifted them up. They're important to me. And we should be able to say the same, especially in the midst of suffering. Those are the times, I believe, when we probably learn more about how the Word of God applies to us than the times when things are good. And David talked about this. Go back to Psalm 119 again, verse 67 this time, just quickly. And we'll see the connection between suffering and the Word of God. And there is a connection. Notice Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. So sometimes God says the afflictions will bring us back to his word. Verse 71. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Here God says that affliction helps us to learn his word. Isn't that amazing? And then verse 75 says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. So notice the connection between suffering and the word. Job is saying, in the midst of my suffering, I'm learning. And I've esteemed the words of his mouth. I've lifted them up. They're important to me. And if they're important to us, that will be evident by how we treat it. Are we willing to take the time to study it? Are we willing to take the time to meditate in it? Take the time to memorize it. Take the time to make sure that we seek it for guidance, that it can be that lamp and that light in our lives, and that it might furnish us. And if it's important to us and we esteem it, we will also expose ourselves to it whenever we can. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So he says here, in the midst of all this suffering, I've esteemed the words of his mouth. But then he goes on to say, in verse 12, more than my necessary food. I don't think there's anybody in here who doesn't eat, because you would be dead. So we all eat. So Job is teaching us a lesson, because he says, my necessary food. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. In other words, the word of God is more important to me than food, which keeps me alive. By the way, we can't survive without eating. But Job is saying it's more important to me than eating, which essentially is an illustration of pleasing the flesh, right? Satisfying the flesh and what it wants. Job is saying that his word is more important than that. Can we say the same? And by the way, how many times does God liken the word of God to food? Just so that we can get the message. Because eating is something we can all relate to, right? And Job says it's more than my necessary food. And yet what we find is that there is no more necessary food than this book. And that's why there's so many times when God likens it to food. Give you some quick examples. We'll do them in scripture order to make it easy. So Psalm 119 again, verse 103. Quickly, I just want us to see that God likens his word to food, to teach us that we, just as we must feed on earthly food to survive, as Christians, we must feed on spiritual food to survive and to grow the way God wants us to. 119:103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. We can all relate to honey. Jeremiah 15:16. Turn over there if you would. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Just a couple more, but I want us to see how many times through the Old and New Testament, and these are just some samples, where God likens the word of God itself to food. Amos 8:11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. So again, we see he's saying there will be a famine, and we're already in it, aren't we? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Okay, now New Testament, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Most of us know this passage where Jesus was tempted in the desert by the devil. And he just quoted scripture, Matthew 4:4. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. we shall live by it. And he likens it to our daily bread. Hebrews 5:12. Let's turn over there and then we'll just have one more. Hebrews 5:12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So here God is likening his word to milk and meat, and showing the difference between an immature Christian or a baby Christian and a mature Christian who's able to handle the meat because they have matured in their faith. And then lastly, 1 Peter 2:2, good place to stop on this point. 1 Peter 2:2. If there's anything we all can relate to, it's a baby drinking milk, right? 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth. I've lifted them up. I've exalted his own words, which we should do the same, and that should be evident by how we treat it, more than my necessary food. And just to drive the point home, all through the scriptures, God compares his word to food. When Paul was saying farewell to the elders at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, what did he say? Feed the flock of God. There is comparing it again. Feed the flock. You take sheep, you have to feed them, right? God says, feed the flock. First Peter 5, Peter said the same thing. Feed the flock. Feed them what? Feed them this food that we just read about. So back to our passage in Job, and we'll finish. So in the midst of his suffering, this fifth great declaration of faith and trust in the Lord, Job says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But look at verse 13. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. He's saying, God does whatever God wants to do, because God is God. How many times do we question God? And we've talked about this as we've gone through Job. How many times do we question what God allows in our lives when it comes to suffering? Job is saying we don't have a place to. He is completely sovereign over our lives. The good news is that he will always do what's best for us because he's a good God. But we need to acknowledge that he is sovereign and that he will do what he chooses, when he chooses and how he chooses, and it's not up to us to argue. It's up to us to accept. It says, verse 14, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. In other words, he does what he decides I need. Which takes us back to verse 10. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He says, therefore, I'm troubled at his presence. When I consider, I'm afraid of him. Is it right to fear the Lord? Absolutely. Is it right to fear his chastisement? Yes. Is it right for an unsaved person to fear hell? Definitely. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And we should have a reverent fear for the Lord. But I love how he finishes this passage in verse 16. For God maketh my heart soft. Isn't that beautiful? God's afflictions and God's word have the power to soften our hearts. Do we need that? Absolutely. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God has the power to soften us. And God often will use the suffering and his word that goes with it to do that very thing. Do we have an inclination for a hardened heart? Of course we do. How many times are we told in Hebrews alone, harden not your hearts? Referring back to Israel and how their hearts kept hardening against God. God keeps warning, don't harden your heart. I might have to soften it sometimes with my word. I might even have to soften it sometimes with affliction. But God maketh my heart soft. And I hope that we can all agree with Job this evening that God makes my heart soft. That His Word continues to work in my life to soften my heart and to change me and to grow me. And that when the afflictions come, I acknowledge who's in control. I trust Him. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. And I know that God makes no mistakes, and that when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So I have esteemed. I hope that we can all agree, not only with the statement, but we show our agreement through our behavior and our treatment of God's Word, that we've esteemed the words of His mouth more than our necessary food, than that God maketh my heart soft.